Well, I would like to thank the organizer to give me the opportunity to come here. Well, today I'm going to talk about the following, a joint work with Gustavo Ponce from UC Santa Barbara and Jean-Claude Sot from Paris Sud Orsay. Okay, so what we want to do is study well postness for that system over there. Okay, so you got a complex function there, and a real function, and there is this guy over here that is no Laplacian, but it's only Laplacian in the x and y variables, and c is just only one derivative in that direction, right? So this looks like the usual Saharov system that, well, now it's missing the whole Laplacian here in all the directions, and the same in the second equation. So the question is if somehow this initial value problem has solution in some solid space, okay? So what I want to do is first say a word on the model. I don't know what is this, stop this thing. Okay. About the model where this comes out, and then compare that with the Saharov system, the usual one, where a lot of works have been done, and then try to give an idea to solve the problem. Then I'm going to give the right space to solve the problem and the main result, and I'm going to give the proof of some key estimates along the talk. Okay, so the first thing is this is the usual Saharov system, right? So it was introduced by Saharov himself and his collaborators, and he described this envelope of electric field E and the low frequency variation of the density of the ions. Okay. So for Lasser propagation, this is the system that is proposed, okay? So you can see that in the book of Sulen, and work by Riazuelo that I'm going to show in the next slide. Okay? So again, you have the same problem. You have Laplacian only in two variables, right? In this, so the dispersion in the y variable doesn't appear. So there is a more complete model that was proposed by Riazuelo to try to do numerical simulations for that phenomenon, that's Lasser propagation in plasma, okay? So in there are many processes that have to be involved, right? So you got the A0, the incident laser field. You have this quantity here, this is scattered light. Then you have the electronic plasma wave, and then the variation of density here. So, doing this numerical simulation with this system, Riazuelo found that there are some instability. Okay, the numericals are not good. Okay, and he claimed that this is because of these guys over here, right? So, you have to have that probably in E, but not in A naught and AR. Okay, so. Calling, it says Michel Collin, and Thierry Collin proposed an alternative model. I'm going to write it down. Try to avoid this instability that appears in that model. So instead to have that, they put three Schrödinger equations like this, and then he puts on quasi-linear terms over here. So we got that quantity here, then another Laplacian This is another Schrödinger equation, gradient A RC. Then you have a Schrödinger equation, also in E, with divergence M E plus gradient of RC and the first equation as before, a constant delta M equals Laplacian E square plus this square. Okay. So this is the model that Colin and Colin proposed to get away from the instability produced in this numerical simulation with that system. Okay, now that is more, it's easier to work with this, right? You have, from the analysis point of view, you have three Schrödinger equations, and you have the wave equation, and the nonlinear part are quasi-linear, okay? So they pose the question that they say that the original system I put in the first slide was ill-posed. Okay, they said this, the problem with that, that system is its ill-posed. Okay? So I'm going to show you that that is not the case. Okay? So in a suitable space, you will have local well-posedness for that. Okay, so I'm going to do first a comparison with the Sakharov system, right? And write some results that we know already. And the techniques, and what are the techniques that we are going to use in this case. So you have this. This is the usual one. T, N, Laplacian N, gradient. So there are many people in the audience that has worked with that. And I can remind you the works by Catherine, brother, Sulaim, Adet. Also, Osawa, Tsutsumi, Bulgan, Coliander, Kenny Ponsonvega, and the last one, I guess, is Ginibre, Tsutsumi, Andello. This is 97, okay? And, well, they deal with the well-posedness of that problem, and I can mention, too, that Frank has worked with the blob for that system in dimension 1 and dimension 2 with I don't know how to pronounce Gangletas. Okay, so in those cases, so you have energy estimates in these two works. Osawa and Tsutsumi propose a change of variable to get a result that actually Colin and Colin used to solve the system that they proposed. Then I had to jump here. Kenny Ponsonvega proposed the smoothing effects, right, by the Schrödinger equation to solve the problem. Bourguin, Coliander used the Fourier restriction method to solve the problem. And Ginibre, Tsutsumi, and Bello did the same, but then they combined all of the smoothing effects and all the Stricker estimates for the Schrödinger equation. Okay? Okay, so in this case, we have a problem, right?
problems in different spaces.
Different spaces, yeah. No, there are local, there are global, okay? For instance, there are global here with weak solutions. There are some local and global here, okay? Hmm? Right? And there are some love here because of the sign there, right? Okay? What is that? Okay. Okay. All right, so in this case, we have this over here, right? We have this direction. There is no dispersion in this path. Okay? And you still have this Laplacian here. This guy is okay. That part is okay. But then you have this over here. And you have some loss of derivatives in this side. Okay? So you're losing derivative in the direction x and y, right? So in C, there is no dispersion at all, okay? So we don't have to worry about that in this side, okay? So the problem is to get rid of these two derivatives. Okay, so we know that, well, this is the wave equation only in x and y. So we can recover one derivative from there. So what we like to have is some property of this, the solution of this linear problem, somehow, to get one more derivative, right? And then kill the one over here, okay? So if you are in that situation, like in the Schrodinger equation, the only thing you have to do is use the smoothing effect Kenny Bonsenberger. Let's say something like, if you are in any of the directions, right, you can compute, let's say this is the direction x, you have the group associated to the Schrodinger equation, say this one. Then if you compute the L infinity norm in x, L2 in the other variable set, I'm going to think about three variables, y, c, and t, so you got this inequality, L2, x, y, and c, right? For the Schrodinger operator. Okay. So you can do that in x and y and c. And besides that, you can have an additional gain of derivatives because you are looking here at the homogeneous problem. Which you treat the non-homogeneous problem, you can gain one complete derivative, right? In each of the directions. So that is the derivative we need in order to control this nonlinear part, okay? So we can do that in that situation. Even though this is not the Schrodinger equation, right? The dispersion in these two variables will help us to get some smoothing effect like that, only in x and y. Okay? In C, we don't have to worry about. Okay? We cannot put anything on C, but only the derivative we have. All right, so now let's see what we have to do next. So we begin with that equation, and then the usual thing is going for an integral equation, right? To try to write the integral equation and solve the integral equation. So we do that, right? So we get that problem, right? We reduce the whole problem to one equation, solving for n. Okay. So we got n, we have these operators, right? With the usual one for the wave equation, but now in only two variables. And then what we try to do is solve this equation over here, right? Then to solve that equation, we write the integral equation associated to that, So now it looks a little bit ugly, but it's all right. So you have the linear part. I say yes, this is the operator for the linear equation, right? The linear solution. And then you got the part that is given by n, right? The linear part. You have now to multiply by this e, right? And then the nonlinear part of n multiplied by this guy. And then once you have that, what you try to do is define the space and try to do a contraction mapping principle following what Kenny Ponce and Vega did. Okay. Well, this is just to remind you what I said before. You just got what you want, right? You have, again, the of half derivative in that direction in x, and also you have a gain of half derivative in the other direction y, right? In the same way as for the Schrodinger propagator, all right? Okay, with that, we have to define the set of the space of data where we are going to work, right? So the space is like this. So we're going to put two jake derivatives in the usual solid space in R3, and then we have to compensate with this half derivative in x and y. Okay? So the data for the e part, the a naught, has to live in that space. Okay, so you got the solid space and you got the smoothing effects over here, right? Then for n, well, the usual thing is it's like if you are in H2 jake, you have n0 the same, n1 in 2 jake minus 1, but then you have to give a condition in z, right? So the condition in z is just the derivative in z and 1 has to be in that space, right? Okay, so once you have the data, you get the result, or the main result that we get is this one. So you are in that space, well, I should say, put in here so you can see what is the space. Okay. So you have a solution E of the integral equation in that space. You preserve the smoothing effects, and besides, n lives in this right space. Okay. So this is the suitable solid space that I was talking about at the beginning. So I have to say that this is not optimal at all. Okay. This is just giving an answer to that open question that is. That problem was open, right? The well-posedness or not of that problem. So we are giving a local an answer, a local well-posedness result. All right? So again, I'm going to tell you where you can improve if somehow one can do it. I don't know. All right. So. So the, okay, let me tell you what is the key estimates. Okay, so you look at the linear problem, right? This is the first one over there. You have the group that way, and then you compute, you can compute one derivative in that norm, right? Then you have the dual of that smoothing effect, it's given by this. And then for the non-homogeneous problem, you have the gain of one derivative, right? So you can do that in each direction, right? In this case, x and y. Okay. So that will be enough to get rid of the problem that we have at the very beginning, right? Well, besides the properties of the... Okay, so I know that you have seen that several times, but anyway, I'm going to give you a sketch of the proof of the smoothing effect. Right? The first one is really easy. So the only thing you have to do is a change of variables, right? So you got this, you write it explicitly, then you do this change of variables. Okay, so you got that. DC1, DC2. I just change the notation just to put the two variables in one side. So when you have that, the only thing you have to do is plan chiral and change of variables to get the following equality. Okay, so once you just put in there, do the change of variables, you get this. Then you go back to the change of variables, you finish in L2 in all the space. So then this is independent of x1, so you just take the sup in x1 and you get what you get. So the second inequality is just, let's put in there, it's just a duality argument, you get it. Okay? So you have this, and by another duality argument, you have this inequality. For the last one, you have to work a little bit more, but not that much. So what you do is you try to write down that operator in that way. Okay? So you rewrite this integral in these two integrals over here. So you have this part, that is the only thing you have to do is try to see that this is a multiplier, right? And then in this part, you have to use what you know already about the smoothing effect. So if you take this first part, right, you use Planck-Chiral theorem in x bar and t, you get this equality. So now you have a kernel in x1, right, and c and tau, and the only thing you have to prove is that that kernel is bounded. Okay, so that's a standard computation already, right? To do this, it's just a Fourier transfer of that object. So you have to be careful with the roots and everything. Okay? So once you got that, so the only thing you have to do is use Jonin inequality, and you get this. The first part. Okay, so you are gaining one derivative for this, what I call A1, right? And I finish with G in this space. For the other part, we saw that the operator, right, is here, right? The group over there. So we can write it now, that second expression, as half derivative of the linear operator applied to G, where G is now something that looks like this. Right? So it's something like that. You can compute now the principal value of that quantity over here, and you can rewrite everything like this. Okay? And I'm going to use what I know about the half derivative in the non-homogeneous case. Okay? So we know that this over here happens. Let me see if I can find it. I lost it. Okay, anyway. So now you have that. You write that equality over there. So you have the Hilbert transform here in x1. You have half derivative in x1 of that expression over there. So you use that you are in L2, that you get rid of that. And then you got half derivative of this object over here that we know by the second inequality I showed before that satisfies this inequality. Okay? So that shows that you can gain one derivative in the non-homogeneous case. Okay? I think this is easy. Yes, I'm just going to. We also use the property of the weight equation, right? In this case. So we have this, the linear part. You got these two operators. And we have very nice properties as the one I'm going to show you. So you gain one derivative. This is key. This is one of the key, right? You gain one derivative here. So that's the one derivative that we need here, plus the one that I already proved. Okay? So these linear properties will be combined to get the result. All right, so this is the problem that, again, I just write it in that way. And let me write here with what is H. So you get these two operators. I'm not going to worry about the first one. But the second one, right? So what I want to do is to perform derivative of this order. So I have to control this derivative for this part over here. That's like the integral from 0 to t of this operator. This is eh t prime dt in L2. Okay? In all the variables x, y, and z. So that's the key, right? If you can control this guy with the norms that you have introduced with the smoothing effect. So there are some preliminary computations. I'm going to write just lemma 1. And let's say that you can control this. This is H. Well, I put in the top. In that norm over there, right? So I have L2 and X, L infinity in X, Y, and Z, Y, Z, and T. And I can control that by this number over here, T to the 5/2 power. Then you have L infinity in T, H4 in R3. And also, this is the key one, right? When you control two derivatives in J of that part. So you will see that the smoothing effect is going to appear with a complete derivative in that psi, right? Then you have this guy that is something like a maximal function estimate that I'm going to tell you what is going on here. And then you got, again, the H2J norm that you want, right? Actually, if you want to get a better result, you have to deal with this guy. This is a maximal function estimate somehow. So we did in the very crude way, just using serverless embeddings. Okay. Okay. So this is what you want to compute, right? So you have to have two derivatives in J of that part, and then the smoothing effect. Okay. So if you know already the previous estimates, I think it should explain you what is going on here. It would be much better. At least one line. So you're trying to compute this 2J derivative of this object over here. Is n. And then you got this guy. You need to have L2X. Well, the whole problem is this bunch of derivatives, you still have this guy, right? But then you can do, I don't need this guy. I can put this out. And then use the properties of this guy. Okay? The property of this guy said that you can gain half of this operator over here. So you end up with something that looks like this, and still you have this bunch of derivatives here. Okay, so you may have x, y, and z. Then this is one half, otherwise we are. But this operator is basically one derivative on x, one derivative on y, right? So we can have one derivative on x times, or applied to this operator here. So I can't put to one of these guys, right? And then compute the L infinity in x, L2, x, y, and t, this y, z, and t. And then the one without derivative, I just put in this number over here, L1 in x. In this case, it's going to be L2 somehow. And then I'm going to put L infinity in x and y. And z and t. So you had to do here first quotient, and then again put everything here, and then I put that previous step. Now L2, x, y, z, and t. And then the worst part corresponds to that when you put all the derivatives in one guy, right? No derivative in the other one. So you have the smoothing effect in this eye, right? And then the bad guy in the picture is this one if you want to get optimal results, okay? I did put a chart here, Yala, in T. Okay? And then I distribute these two guys. And I put only this term over here, right? There are several terms in between. Okay, that is that estimate over here, part of that. Okay, so you put the smoothing effect, right, with one derivative, and then that corresponds to the maximal function estimate. And then this is just using Sobolev, you can control the other part. All right, so this is the computation I have well, this is, it looks ugly here, right, when you do the whole thing. Now E against H, H is the estimate that we have done there, and then you have to control these two J derivatives in that norm, right? So you have to put all the derivatives in E, okay, you put it in that way, you use Sobolev's embedding here, then you put non-derivative in E, you put all derivatives in H, and we control, as I did before, and then the derivative in the middle, right? So this is done as before, we control that part, times now this guy that is in HS, right? Over there. And finally you got the third term. The only thing you have to do is just use Sobolev lemma. And for the other part, when you use the smoothing effect, you use the second inequality that I showed you before, and you get in that space L1 in T, L2 and X, Y, and Z, and you do the same procedure. Okay? Exactly the same. So you have the same estimate for this and for two Jakes in L2. Alright? I think this is the key in the whole story, right? Now, that's what we don't get any better than A6. When you try to estimate this guy, right, we have this estimate over here. It's very crude. This is just, we are in H4. Okay, it could be better, I don't know. And then you have this restriction over here. You have at least, you are in H5. So this is, well, again, just going to remark that if you can do this better, you have a better result, local result, okay? Well, finally, I'm going to show what is the usual way to solve this problem with the smoothing effect is use the contraction mapping principle, and then you define your space, right, and with some norms that are involved in the smoothing effect. So we got the Sobolev space, the usual one, the smoothing effect in X and Y and X again, right? And then you have to put one derivative more. Well, I think it means here it should be Y, okay? So this is X, Y, and then Y, all right? I missed two. This is Y, Y, and Y. With those norms over there, now you can perform a contraction using this operator over here. Okay, so you define that operator on that space. You can find A and T small, that such a way that you get a contraction. Okay, so I'm just going to show a couple of slides showing all the computation, but you don't have to look at that, right? You put everything together, right? The smoothing effect again, H2J norm. You do the same in those spaces over there. The good thing is you always have a T factor in the front, right? With some power that I don't know if this is right or not, but the powers are all positive. And then you end up with this, something that looks like that. You can do the same for this in this norm, also in this norm, also in this norm. Then you can choose A like this, and then T is small enough, depending on these guys, and then you have the contraction, and then you get the local result. Okay, so that was what I wanted to tell you today. Okay.